I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. And I'm in the middle of talking about Modern Horizons. So I think I'm up to F. So we're talking all about card-by-card stories from Modern Horizons. Okay, so we're starting with Fairy Seer. Harder to say than I thought. So that's for a single blue mana. It's a 1/1 fairy wizard. It's a creature. It's got flying. And when Fairy Seer enters the battlefield, scry 2. It's the only fairy, by the way, in the... I mean, not counting changelings, obviously. It's the only natural fairy in the set. There's been a lot of... One of the things, when people commented on the set, one thing they wanted more of was more fairies. So they also wanted more merfolk. We only had so many slots, so obviously we spent, for example, a lot of our blue slots on ninjas. So one of the comments I got on this card was, could this have been a ninja? And in retrospect, I wish we had made this a ninja. I mean, I don't know if it fits in the ninja deck and this and that, but I feel like we could have flavored it like a ninja, like it's, you know, scrying and seeking information out or something. Although I guess it's getting your information. But still, I think this could have been a fun card if flavored as... I mean, we don't have a lot of one-drop ninjas, so this could have been... I think this could have been cool as a ninja. I don't think we ever thought about it being a ninja, so I don't think that discussion ever came up. But I believe if we had thought about it early enough so it could be concepted as such, I don't know. I believe this could have been a ninja. That's my belief. Okay, speaking of ninjas, Fallen Shinobi. So 3 blue, black, so 5 mana total, one of which is blue, one of which is black. It's a 5/4 zombie ninja, so it is both zombie and ninja. It's got ninjutsu, 2 blue, black, which means if you spend 2 blue, black and return an unblocked attacker you control to hand, put this card on the battlefield from your hand tapped and attacking. Ninjutsu is all the way back from Betrayers of Kamigawa. This was the ninja mechanic. When Fallen Shinobi deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top 2 cards of their library. Until end of turn, you may play those cards without paying their mana cost. So this card is kind of cool in that, I mean, most ninjutsu have some reason that when you surprise and it turns out to be a ninja, it does something. So often they have saboteur abilities. So this saboteur ability is, A, it mills them. It takes cards from off their library and removes them. Although, instead of going to the graveyard, it exiles them. And then it lets you cast them. And cast them without paying its mana cost. So, pretty exciting. So, I'm kind of like stealing your spells, which feels super ninja-y. So, that one, luckily, is a ninja. But anyway, black and blue are the ninja colors. My guess is this is the black-blue build-around for ninjas, the gold card. We normally have a gold card for each of our themes. I don't know rarity here, so maybe this is a rare. But, I mean, it could have. It sounds like it's the build-around. My only thing is that it's a little bit sexy for uncommon, so maybe this is the rare, not the uncommon build around, because being able to cast spells off your opponent is not something we normally do at uncommon, although Modern Horizons has a lot of things where we push things a little bit rarity-wise, so I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I think it's a cool card. Next, Farmstead Gleaner. Costs 3 generic mana. It's a 2/2 Scarecrow. It's an artifact creature. Farmstead Gleaner doesn't untap during your untap step. 2, untap symbol, put a +1/+1 counter on Farmstead Gleaner. Okay, so the untap symbol, for those that read my blog, I talked about how the set had between 40 and 50 mechanics, depending how you classified mechanics. I mean, non-evergreen mechanics. So untap falls in that gray area. It's not a keyword mechanic, but it's sort of a mechanic. It's definitely a thing we don't normally do. We did the untapping. The untap symbol showed up in Shadowmoor. And it caused some problems. Two things. One is, even though it was an inverted version of the tap symbol, meaning the arrow goes the opposite way of normal, and it's inverted, meaning instead of a black line on a silver square, it's a white line on a black. It's like it's inverted. But... even so, people are so imprinted on what the tap symbol looks like that without sort of being aware that, oh, there's an untap symbol, people just read it as the tap symbol. And I know when you compare them side by side, they're different, but just in a vacuum, it just seems like the tap symbol. So A, people were playing it wrong. And B, what we learned is, for some reason, certain effects are just harder to wrap your brain around that just... Even though when you know what it's supposed to be, like, okay, I understand it's the untap symbol, not the tap symbol. It's just something that people really It's just, I don't know, it's just whatever the opposite of intuitive is. It just really flies in the face of how people think it works. And so it was just very, very hard for people to play. They sort of cramped up. Now, I know there's people that love the untapped symbol. I actually enjoy the untapped symbol. But I think my brain wraps around new concepts, and part of my job is to do that. So I wrap around new concepts quicker than most. But anyway, we were coming back. It's the expert set. You know, it's we're doing all sorts of mechanics, and so we thought we'd do a untapped symbol. Also, this is on a scarecrow. Scarecrows, there are a bunch of players who are very fond of scarecrows. A lot of scarecrow fans. I get a lot of requests for scarecrows. So I'm happy we could get a new scarecrow in. And definitely one that... The interesting thing about it is, if you have two mana and it's tapped, you can untap it. So it doesn't untap normal, but you can basically you can pay to untap it. And when you pay to untap it, it gets bigger because the activation puts a counter on it. So the cool thing is, if I have this thing tapped and I have two mana open, you have to treat it as if it's an untapped 3/3, which is, I mean, there's a lot of threat there if the opponent's understanding what's going on. Okay, next, Feaster of Fools. 4 black, so 6 mana total, 2 of which is black. It's a 3/3 demon, so kind of small for a demon, but you'll see in a second why. It's got Convoke. So Convoke is your creatures can help cast a spell. Each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for 1 of the mana of the creature's color. So Convoke allows you to pay. It's got Flying, and it's got Devour 2. As this creature enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice any number of creatures. The creature enters the battlefield with twice that many +1/+1 counters on it. So the reason it's kind of small is you can devour things and make it pretty big. And so the idea is, this is the cuteness, this is one of the mix and match, where it has two different mechanics. The idea here is having a lot of creatures is beneficial on Convoke, because it helps you cast a creature cheaper, and having a lot of creature helps with devour, because you can eat them. So the idea is, if I have 4 creatures, for example, out, I can cast this for black, and then eat them all, and it will come into play with 8. So for basically black, I can cast an 11/11 creature. Given, I'm eating 4 creatures, so there's a cost there. But anyway, so the synergy there is pretty nice. So I like I said, as a fan of mix and match, as I explained in the podcast about Modern Horizons, I made a lot of mix and match, not all of mix and match, like, I was very eager to do a whole bunch of mix and match. We ended up doing some, but not nearly the volume that I had intended or hoped. Maybe one day we'll do a mix and match set, a supplemental set. Okay, next. First Sliver's Chosen. So this costs 4 and a white. It's a 3/3 sliver. Sliver creatures you control have exalted. So exalted means whenever a creature you control attacks alone, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each instance of exalted among permanents you control. So exalted was the Bant mechanic in Shards of Alara, Bant being white-centered, so white, green, and blue. Interestingly, it was created by Brian Tinsman, and it's one of the few mechanics that when it was first pitched to me, I really thought it was not a good mechanic. I thought it was too big a hoop, or too tiny a hoop, to jump through. I guess in hoops you want. Tiny's the problem. But we played with it, cause, you know, and it ended up playing really well. Way better than I thought it would. I really was pleasantly surprised how well it played. Anyway, when we were doing our brainstorming for Slivers, we had one day we were like, okay, let's name every ability, every keyword ability that is acceptable. So Modern Legal, before up to Dragons of Tarkir, that we thought would just be cool on Slivers. And we were really trying to come up with crazy stuff. And one of the things I pitched was Exalted. Because if Exalted is good, but Exalted is better if all your creatures have Exalted. So when I stick down this card, all my slivers get Exalted. So all of a sudden, if I attack with one of them, it gets huge. And anyway, when I first pitched it, I didn't know if we'd actually make it, but I thought it was cool. One of the things we were trying to do is just make up, you know, put abilities on slivers that we heard it for the first time, you're like, wow. So anyway, I was happy that we actually made this card. That same meeting, by the way, is when we pitched Slivers with, what does the First Chosen have? Has flip cards to reveal it. What is that called? Cascade. It's the same meeting that we pitched Exalted, we pitched Cascade. I think we also pitched Unearthed in that meeting, too. So it's kind of funny, the First Chosen and First Sliver and First Sliver Chosen are two of those. Okay, next is... Oops, sorry. It's going the wrong way. Okay, next is four... Oh, the forces. So there's four forces. So the white force is force of virtue. So they all have different costs. They're all... They all have two colored mana in their cost. And they either cost one MM or two MM. So let me go in color order here. Okay, so Force of Negation is two white. They're all enchantment. Oh, I'm sorry. This one's an enchantment. The other ones are not enchantments. If it's not your turn, you may exile a white card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Flash. Creatures you control get +1/+1. So it's an anthem, but a flash anthem. Force of Negation, one blue, instant. If it's not your turn, you may exile a blue card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Counter target non-creature spell. If that spell is countered this way, exile it instead of putting it to its owner's graveyard. Black is Force of Despair. One black, instant. If it's not your turn, you may exile a black card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Destroy all creatures that enter the battlefield this turn. Red, Force of Rage, 1RR, instant. If it's not your turn, you may exile a red card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Create 2 3/1 red elemental creature tokens with trample and haste. Sacrifice those tokens at the beginning of your next upkeep. And Force of Vigor is the green one, 2 green, instant. If it's not your turn, you may exile a green card from your hand rather than pay the spell's mana cost. Destroy up to 2 target artifacts and or enchantments. Okay, so the force cycle was, I think, created by Eric Lauer rather late in set design. He felt the set needed a splashy new cycle, and he decided to make some new pitch cards. So, pitch cards first showed up in alliances, and the idea was the East Coast designers designed alliances. Skeff Life, Jim Lynn, Dave Petty, Chris Page, and one of the things they were playing around with is they liked kind of breaking norms. Kind of like taking given magic knowns and messing with them. And one of the things at the time was true was if you're tapped out, you can't do anything. And so the idea here was, what if we had spells that you could cast even if you didn't have mana? And so the way they worked was that you could discard a card of the same color. Of the cycle, I think two of them also... I forget whether you paid a life or took a damage, but like Force of Will, for example... You also had there's additional life cost beyond just discarding a card. I think the blue and black are the ones that have the life. I know for sure that Force of Will is. Anyway, we introduced them in alliances, and they were quite the thing. In fact, if you ever heard my story about alliances, our customer service people wrote a letter saying how they didn't think we should put out. They were very against alliances, and in particular, they were against the force spells. They thought it broke a rule that should not be broken. Something I hear quite often when I try to break rules. No, you can't break that rule. Anyway, we made them. They were really popular. I mean, Force of Will has gone on to be, you know, one of the most iconic cards in Magic, and a card that just plays in every format that it's legal in. The reason Force of Will is not in Modern, the reason that this is Force of Will is a little bit too strong. But Force of Negation is nice in that it's kind of Force of Will, but for a more targeted thing. So obviously it does non-creature spells. So it doesn't stop creature spells, but it can stop non-creature spells. And it doesn't even cost you the life, so. And also, now it's also dismissed. Not only does it counter them, but it exiles it. So, is a dismiss for non-creature spells that's combined with Force of Will. So the blue one's a combination of things. The white one is quirky. The white one's the only permanent. All the other ones are instants. The white one is a flash enchantment. I think the idea was that not knowing... Like, the nice thing about a flash anthem is it can boost your creatures and save your creatures. So all of a sudden, whether someone is trying to kill them with direct damage or you're in combat or... There's a lot of times you can surprise people, especially being tapped out and surprise people, so you can save your stuff. It also allows you, if you're attacking with like a horde of creatures, to surprise, just do a lot of extra damage that's not anticipated. The black one was meant to be a kill spell, but I think they wanted to limit it a little bit. But the nice thing here is it allows you to kill multiple things because it can kill everything that enters the battlefield. So it can be an answer to like large token generation or just there's some shenanigans where people get a lot of creatures on the battlefield at once. Force of Rage is the one we got the most comments on. It is, yes, it is the weakest of them. I think they were trying to make sort of a Ball Lightning. So Ball Lightning is a 6/1 trample. So the idea was they're making two little mini Ball Lightnings that you could do as a surprise in your turn or on their turn to be defensive. Probably, I'm not sure whether they necessarily had to go away. Maybe it's a little too strong if they don't go away. I mean, anytime you make a cycle, there always is the weakest of the cycle. In Magic, you know, if you look at, like, the boons, and, like, one end you have draw three cards, and the other end you have, like, gain three life or prevent three damage. Not so equal, you know. And for every Oath of Druids, you got Oath of Mages and stuff like that. So there's every cycle. Maybe we're hitting the nostalgia of cycles by having a discrepancy between the power level. The red one's a little weak. The green one, I think they like the idea of having some utility for removal. In general, Naturalize is something that is better as you get into older formats just because there's more and more powerful artifacts and enchantments. And so the idea of doing something that can be a little more, that you might want to play but can, you know, answer more things, or not more things, but answer multiple things, was behind the green one. Anyway, that was created as a means to... make something exciting that worked a little bit differently. And because they're pitch cards, it ties to the past. We did pitch cards in Alliances, and then we did them again in Rakdos Mask Block. And we did them one other time. It's something we don't do all that often, so that having them here is kind of cool. It's not something we do on any regularity. Okay, next, Frost Walla. 2 and a green. It's a 2/2 snow creature. It's a lizard. For activated snow mana, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Activate this ability only once each turn. Okay, so Frost Walla is a riff on Root Walla, which was from original Tempest. Oh, the real quick story on that is originally Root Walla was going to be Chuck Walla, which is an actual kind of lizard. But the artist who drew it didn't realize thought we had made up a lizard and didn't realize that it was a real lizard. So he didn't quite draw a Chuck Walla, so we changed the name to Root Walla. This is a riff on Root Walla. It's Root Walla, except instead of spending green mana, you're spending snow mana. So green and blue, the snow theme is played up in green and blue. It's the green-blue draft archetype. So just having a green card that sort of... obviously a 2D2 is nothing great. I mean, you want to have snow in order to make this work, so... This definitely is going to go to the snow player, or at least no one's going to take it super early, where the snow player is going to be much more happy in taking it. It's also the kind of thing that if you take this in the draft, you don't need a lot of snow lands to play this. The one thing I got comments on is funny, is I got comment on it from a herpetologist. So one of the things that's interesting is lizards are cold-blooded. Which means that they're very sluggish in cold environments. And so the idea that you'd have a lizard that is of the snow. Now, it's Magic and Fantasy, and clearly if it lives in the snow, then it's adapted to snow and whatever, adapted to cold. Okay, next, Generous Gift. So Generous Gift was 2 and a white, instant, destroy target permanent, its controller creates a 3/3 green elephant creature token. So this is a... So we talked about how this was like Time Spiral 2, and it's a lot more like Time Spiral than it is like Planar Chaos or Future Sight. There are some mixes and matches and stuff. There's a little bit of Future Sight there. This is the one of the few cards that's very Planar Chaos-y. This is a green card. I did not write down. The green card is... what's the green card called? This is a green card. It's a break in green. We should have made it in green. It actually gets used quite a bit in some larger formats because it lets green answer stuff. Green's not supposed to be good at answering. But anyway, green's the wrong color for it, so we did it in white. White is the color. It's a little bit of bend in white, in that white does not have pinpoint land destruction. Although, unless you're destroying a very potent land, destroying a land to give them a 3/3 creature is usually not a great trade-off. I mean, they have to have a very, very powerful land for you to do this. there's an interesting question why this ended up staying a 3-3 green. I think that the idea they liked that it was exactly the card but shifted white, and I think the green one makes it an elephant. I think. I'm not 100% on that. But anyway, the other idea that's cute is that it's a white elephant spell. In fact, I think the playtest name for this was White Elephant, which is a slang term for a gift. A white elephant is a gift that you're not quite expecting to get. That's a quirky gift. So anyway, the idea that this was White Elephant we thought was funny. Okay, next. Gluttonous Slug. So Gluttonous Slug is 1 and a black for a 0/3 Slug Whore. It's a creature. It's got Menace and Evolve. So this is another one of the... Oh, I'm sorry. This is not a mix and match because Menace is an evergreen here. So Evolve is a mechanic created by Ethan Fleischer in the second Great Designer Search. I liked it so much that the very first set I was able to put it in, which was Gatecrash, I did. It was a perfect Simic mechanic. Basically Evolve is whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has a greater power or toughness than this creature, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. So the fact that it has a low power in 0/0/3 means as soon as you play another creature, I mean, given if you play a 0/1 or 0/2 or 0/3, that won't happen. But odds are you're playing something with at least one power, this will get bigger. And the idea with Evolve is as you play bigger creatures, the Evolve creatures get bigger. So it definitely encourages you to play, kind of ramp into bigger and bigger creatures, and then your smaller creatures kind of grow along with your bigger creatures. So one of the things that we tried to do in the set was take mechanics that were limited in their original use. Guild mechanics are a perfect example, because guild mechanics, by the very nature of being a guild mechanic, is only usable in the colors of the guild. So Evolve only appeared in green and blue because it was a Simic mechanic. Well, part of making and finding new spaces to go was going to other colors. So we went into black and we made a slug. So, and the slug made sense that it'd be not super powerful. You don't really think of a slug as attacking you per se, so that felt good. So next, we have Goat Nap. 2 and a red, it's a sorcery. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. If that creature is a goat, it also gets +3/+0 until end of turn. So the idea was this is a threatened variant. There's a card in in Lorwyn called Goat Napper that did this. I think it's an enter the battlefield effect. The joke at the time was there's no goats in Lorwyn. The reason we could make this card and the reason it works here is Changeling. So obviously this card cares about Changeling. Changeling is the only goats. As in Lorwyn, I wanted a goat in Lorwyn. I really, really wanted a goat. And I fought so hard to have a goat, just a single goat. It could be rare. I didn't care. I lost that fight. Here, I think this got made I think this got made in set design. So I don't know if I had the chance to argue that there should be a goat, but I feel the same way. The lack of a goat is a mistake. From a comedy's perspective, I think it is just funny that there's a goat in the set rather than no goats in the set. Yeah, I get the changeling. I just think it's a funnier joke when you have a single goat. Because I think if you have no goats, you go, but there's no goats. But if you have one goat, you're like, you put this card in for the one goat? I just think that's a funnier... Anyway, I think that's funnier. So this is a riff. One of the things we like to do in Time Spiral-ish sets is take abilities that are enter the battlefield spells and turn them into spells, or take things that are spells and turn them into battlefield effects. Anyway, it's just definitely kind of fun. Okay, Goblin Champion. It's red, single red, one red mana. For a 0/1, it's a Goblin Warrior, so it's a creature. Haste and Exalted. So whenever a creature you control attacks alone, creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So the key thing about this thing, it's a one drop, and even though it's zero powered, if it attacks on the turn you play it, and it's the only thing that attacks probably because it's the first turn, it's a 1/2. And so it's a cute way. Once again, this is us taking a mechanic that wasn't... we did... So Convoke first showed up in Selesnya in Ravnica. Interestingly, by the way, Richard Garfield, the creative mechanic, originally made it for Boros, not for Selesnya. I moved it to Selesnya because I thought it played a little bit more... it just played a little bit better in Selesnya because Selesnya was trying to build up and had the whole... Its whole theme was community. It does play fine. Not that it played bad in Boros. It, It made a little more thematic sense in Schlesinger than Boros. But anyway, this is in Boros colors. So I like sort of us experimenting and pushing. Now, we did bring Exalted back in a core set. I don't think we put it in red. I think we put it in white and black in the core set, playing into sort of a religious theme. So I think this is the first red card with Evolve. Not 100%, but Exalted. I think this is the first one. I'm not 100% on that, but I think so. Okay, next. Goblin War Party. So three in a red. So four mana total, one which is red. It's a sorcery. Choose one. Create 3/1/1 red goblin creature tokens, or creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain haste until end of turn. Entwine, two in a red. So entwine is choose both if you pay the entwine cost. So the idea is for three in a red, I make 3/1/1 goblins. Or I boost my team by +1/+1, give it haste. Or for 5 red/red, I make 3/2/2 goblins for the turn that can attack the turn you play them. So the key thing about this is it's doing it entwine in a fun way. Entwine's a mechanic from original Mirrodin. So this is a mechanic that I literally dreamed up. We had taken some stuff out of the set, and we were missing something. We needed a mechanic, and I've been, like, going over my brain, like, all the parameters of what we needed to solve, and I went to sleep, and in my dream, I dreamed this mechanic, woke up, and I wrote it down, like, oh, that's the mechanic I need. That's my mechanic. I wrote it down. So I dreamed up this mechanic. I literally dreamed it up. This is just playing a little different space. I like the idea of the way all entwines work is they're modal, and you can choose between one of two things, and then entwine means you get both. The only quirky thing about this is red doesn't normally do +1/+1. Red normally would do like +1/+0 or +2/+1. It's a slight bend. It's not, like I said, if you can do +2/+1, which red can do, you could do +1/+1. But it'd be a smidgen more red if it's +1/+0. I don't know whether, I mean, my gut is this is something play design might have made a call on. Maybe this was an actual modern shot. Maybe. And so they push it a little bit. Maybe it's meant for the goblin deck. I don't know. Anyway, it's a fun card, though. Okay, Grave Shifter. Three and a black. It's a 2/2 shapeshifter, so it's a creature. It has changeling, so this card has every creature type. When Grave Shifter enters the battlefield, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. I made a card many years ago called Grave Digger. And Grave Digger was a creature that entered the battlefield, and it got a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Here's an interesting story how this card came about. In Tempest Design, we had come up with a mechanic where if you draw it that turn... it's a mechanic that... Oh, when you drew it, it had an effect when you drew it. And the idea was the card cost a little bit more, but had a draw trigger. And we messed around a lot in Tempest with this mechanic, and the idea was that it'd have a different color back. This is before sleeves were a thing, or weren't a big thing. So the idea is if your opponent had that on the back, you're like, oh, they have one of these cards. Show me what it is. And you would show it when you revealed it. And one of the cards we had made had Raise Dead. That was its effect. And so I think it was a 2/2 for 4 mana that when you drew it, it raised dead a creature. And that mechanic didn't work out, but I really liked how the card played, so I stapled it onto the creature as an enter the battlefield effect, which, interestingly at the time, was not a thing that we had done. Now, Visions would end up doing it before Tempest came out, so it turns out they had made some cards in Visions that I had not seen yet at the time we were making this that also did something similar, so some parallel design. But anyway... I made an enter the battlefield trigger before I'd seen anybody else do it, so I'm always very proud of that. Anyway, one of the things we wanted to do with changelings in this set is make some utility cards that were the kind of cards that a lot of decks would like to have, but make it a changeling. So a Gravedigger is a pretty universally useful card. A lot of decks could use a Gravedigger. Gravedigger's a zombie, so yeah, the zombie decks have been able to use it, but now other decks that are black in them, can use it. And so this definitely is one of those cards that is... It's nice as making very general utility changelings. Okay, the next. Hall of Heliod's Generosity. So it is a legendary land. You can tap to add colorless, or one in white, tap, put target enchantment from your graveyard on top of your library. So this is a, we did a card in black called Volrol, was Volrus, am I mistaking Volrus Laboratory? Or does Volrus Laboratory make the creatures? Okay, there's a card in black that does, Legendary Land that does this. Maybe, Volrus Stronghold. Volrus Stronghold. Volrus Laboratory does make creatures. Volrus Stronghold is this card from Tempest Block. I think it was in, actually, I think it was in Stronghold. But anyway, it's a card in which it's a legendary land, and you could put a creature card from your graveyard on top of your library. So this is the enchantment version. I think we also made the artifact version with blue mana at one point. So I think this is the third. I don't know if it's a cycle. People will see it as a cycle. I'm sure that means we have to do a red and a green one at some point. But anyway, we thought it was a cool opportunity to do something. Tied to Heliod. Heliod is the god of the sun and stuff in Theros, one of the main gods. And so this enchantments was a major theme there. So the idea is tying it to Heliod and making it an enchantment version. He seemed like the appropriate person to tie it to from a creative standpoint. And it's just a card that gives you some, in a deck that's heavy enchantments, helps you. Okay, next, Hexdrinker. Hexdrinker costs a single green mana for a 2/1 snake. It's a creature. So it just costs a single mana. It has level up 1. So what that means is, one, put a level counter on this, level up only as a sorcery. So the idea is, at level 1 or 2, it's a 2/1. At level 3 through 7, it's a 4/4 with detections from instants. And at a level 8 plus, so 8 and above, it's a 6/6 with protection from everything. So the idea is, it starts as a wee little snake, and it grows up with time. Originally, it gets protection just from a subset of things, which is instants, and eventually gets big enough that it gets protection from everything. This is the only level up. So level up was a mechanic made by Brian Tinsman in... It was in Rise of the Eldrazi. We had made a red-white card in a previous set that had kind of done that, where you activated it, and it got counters and got bigger, and that kind of inspired Brian. Brian might have made that original card. It was inspired by a card to make a whole mechanic, and the idea is that these are creatures that, with time, can get bigger. Rise of the Eldrazi was on Zendikar, and the Eldrazi had escaped, and the idea was the champions of the world had to step up to fight the Eldrazi, and so he thought that the level up has a very sort of adventure world feel, like Dungeon Dragon stuff has level up. And anyway, so this was tied to sort of the idea of leveling is something that you see in adventure gaming, and so Zendikar is kind of adventure world. So anyway, it thematically made sense there, and it tied into the story. One of the issues we had with it is we needed to create its own frame. The frame we made, well, once you understood it was functional, definitely confuse some people. We also got a lot of complaints you could only level up as a sorcery. That one I'll stand by. I think level up cards get way too complicated if you can level up. Just the math of trying to track all the level up creatures when at any moment any one of them could be or trying to track when they could get bigger and how much they could do, I don't think that's something you want. So I stand by that. But anyway, we made one level up. So if you like level up cards, Modern Horizons has your back. Made a level creature. Okay, next. Hogak Arisen Necropolis. 5 hybrid mana. Hybrid, in this case, it's black or green. So 5 generic mana, a black or green mana, and a second black or green mana. So 7 total. 2 of which is hybrid mana is black or green. It's a legendary creature avatar. And it is an 8/8. So it's a creature, obviously. You can't spend mana to cast the spell. It's got both Convoke and Delve. So Convoke lets you cast spells by tapping creatures to pay for them. And Delve lets you remove cards from the graveyard. So Convoke, by the way, I think earlier today I had a Convoke card. Convoke, you can tap colored creatures to pay colored mana. Delve, I think you can just reduce by 1. But also, by the way, The card says you may cast Hogarth Arisen Necropolis from your graveyard, and it has trample. So the idea is you can't cast this normally. You can't spend mana to cast it. You must tap creatures, and you can remove cards from your graveyard. Now, because you need two colored mana to cast this, and I think only Convoke gets colored mana, you need at least two black and or green creatures to tap. The cool thing about this is because it has delve is later in the game when it dies, you can dig it out. Now, you can dig it out with just creatures with Convoke, or you can dig it out with a combination of Convoke and delve. But it's an 8/8 trampler, so if you can get it out, it's pretty scary, but it's a quirky card. So this is one of our mix and match. I think the set is, depending on how you count it, I think three, where there's two different named keywords that are not evergreen. This is one of them. This is the kind of thing I love in mix and match, just kind of make something you can't normally make. And if it just had been Convoke or just had been Delve, it would have been a little bit harder to cast. And the fact that you take two different cost reduction mechanics and mix them together just gives the card a little extra utility. And then giving it that sort of graveyard utility just helps it fit into some black-green decks and do some cool stuff. I mean, it is hybrid, so in theory, you don't have to play it in a black and green deck. You could play it in a black deck or a green deck. It's kind of cool in that the reason you could do hybrid is everything that's on this card is doable in both colors. Black doesn't get a lot of trample, ironically. The one thing, but black does have trample, a tertiary if it's big enough, and it's an 8/8, so I would argue it is big enough. Okay. Next, we have... One second. Okay, next we have Ice Hide Golem. It costs a single snow mana. It's a 2/2 creature, a snow artifact golem. A snow artifact creature golem, so it's an artifact creature, and it's a golem. And in order to pay its cost, which is a snow mana, you must tap a permanent that produces mana that itself is of the snow super type. And this is a 2/2. So the idea is it's a 2/2 for one mana, which is pretty good. You don't get a lot of those. But you must tap snow. So you need snow mana. Now, in a snow deck, like, for example, you can, especially in Constructed, you can engineer that all your mana is snow. So if you dedicate yourself to playing a snow deck, you get a free 2, you know, you get a 2/2 that you can play. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, this is the first time I believe we've put snow mana in the mana cost. I think we've done snow mana in the activation cost before, but I think this is the first time we've done it in the mana cost. I think that's new to here. Imposter of the Six Pride. So one and a white for a 3/1 changeling. It's a shapeshifter. It's a creature. So interestingly, in Future Sight, we did this thing where we had a cycle of vanilla creatures in future shifted frames that were full art frames. We'd never done a creature in a full art frame before. And this was teasing that future. Now, interestingly, of all the things in Future Sight that we clearly could have done that we haven't really done, is we haven't really done all the full art creatures. We've done some promo full art creatures, but one day. Anyway, this is one of those cards where we like riffing off of, doing changelings off of known things. And so, the idea of making a riff on the Future Sight card was kind of cute. And anyway, I like this creature. I like the utility of changelings. Changelings allows us to make very functional, useful creatures that have a lot of flexibility. The fact that this is a 1W3/1, which is a good creature, and you play that in Limited for sure. But the idea that it's whatever you need it to be. And remember, the white-black deck is a sort of a lore deck where you play lots of different lords together with changelings. And then the white-red deck is a sliver deck, and you can play this in the sliver deck. It will get all the... And I mean, it doesn't grant any sliver rewards, but it does receive the sliver rewards. Okay, next, Ingenious Infiltrator. 2 blue-black for a 2/3 Vidalkin Ninja. So it's a creature, obviously. It's got ninjutsu blue-black, which is return an unblocked attacker you control to your hand. Put this card on the battlefield from your hand, tapped and attacking. So the idea is if you have an unblocked tapped attacker, an unblocked attacker, doesn't have to be tapped, you could surprise and go, ha-ha, surprisingly, it was secretly this. Ninjas are good in disguise. Whenever a ninja you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. So not only is this... this card itself draw you a card, but it grants all of your ninjas what we call curiosity, which is a saboteur ability that damage draws a card. So this, I'm pretty sure, before, that other card that was not the uncommon draft, build-around draft card. This, I'm pretty sure, is the uncommon draft build-around. That card felt very rare. This card feels, strong, definitely like a build-around. I'm pretty sure this is the uncommon ninja build-around. Ninjas are in blue and black. And so not only is this card's sort of cool where you can ninjutsu it in, and then, if, assuming you're playing a ninja deck, you have other ninjas that are around, so that allows you to get multiple cards with multiple ninjas. Okay, guys, I made it up through I. So I am now at work. Had a little bit of traffic, so you got a little bit of extra content today. But I'm at work. So we all know what that means. I mean, this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you next time with more Modern Horizons.